And it's ringing. It's ringing for Ben. The phone is ringing for Ben. It's time to call Ben, because the phone is already ringing. Oh, it's already time to call Ben. And I'm calling Ben.
Buggity.
Hey, Ben Lawrence. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Now, I know that we're under the gun, because you have someplace you need to go in an hour, and I'm calling you 3 minutes late.
Oh, that's all right.
Cool.
I'm doing the I'm producing the Sketchfest Comedy Film Challenge tonight, and
yes.
So I'm pretty much all set. I got everything. I printed out all the ballots. I got all the sheets I need. Hopefully, at this point, all I can hope is for is that people show up.
Now, here's a question: how many people normally do show up to one of these?
Well, it's been a couple of years since we've actually done one, but the last time we had, I don't know, maybe 70 people.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
It's at the
Central Cinema, which seats about 140.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was it at the Central Cinema last time, or was it Theater Off Jackson last time?
It has been at Theater Off Jackson in the past, but it was at Central. It's been at Central Cinema for the last like 6 years.
Oh, okay. Here's hoping a big crowd. Let me ask you a question. The people who have submitted things, are they all from Seattle? Or, if I remember correctly, they're from all over, aren't they?
They are from all over. We have films from New York. We have films from Winnipeg. We have films from Portland. And that might be ends of Seattle, of course. That might be all the representation. I can't remember if there's... Oh, Philadelphia is another city.
Now, of those people, has anyone come in to town from out of town?
Only one. There's a filmmaker from Portland who makes the trip up for the film challenge.
Aha! Very cool. I remember there was one film challenge. This is a while back. This is back when it was at Theater Off Jackson, where the guy who was the other half of Player King with John Oswald put something in. Do you remember Player King, Ben?
Yeah, that was John and Kirk. Kirk Anderson?
No, not Kirk Anderson. Maybe Kirk Anderson did it later, but John and this other guy, he was kind of tall, brown hair.
Tommy Smith?
No. Different guy completely.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Let me describe the film to you as best as I can.
Okay.
And you tell me if you remember what it is. So there's there are two guys and they're kind of facing off. And they're pulling things out to like intimidate each other or something to that effect. And then one of the guys at one point in time switches places with the other guy, if that makes sense. Like all of a sudden he's there and like there's a scream, shock, and then it goes back to it. Does any of that sound familiar?
None of that sounds familiar to me.
Okay. All right, well... he was also in a sketch comedy group with Reggie Watts. And the one thing that I remember that this group did, and Reggie may not have been on stage for this part of it, and I could be mashing two groups together.
That's possible.
But there were a whole bunch of guys in a line. I think they're wearing orange jumpsuits, and one of the guys had a horse mask on. But the thing that I remember with him and Reggie in it, if this can jog your memory at all, is that the guy who I'm trying to think of, who I don't know, was playing like a hard-talking, like fast-talking 1940s-style boss.
Okay.
Who had fired his entire staff because they just weren't performing to his level. And Reggie was playing the one guy who was left, who was talking really, really slow. So it was a really fast-talking guy and a really slow-talking guy. None of that sounds familiar?
No, I don't know if I saw that. And if I did, it has escaped me.
Okay. So, Player King, on the other hand, John Oswald, and this guy who I can't think of, and he's not like a regular, I think he moved. I think he actually left Seattle, I want to say. This was, none of the other people from Awesome were involved in it. It was okay. John and this other guy.
John and this other guy.
And they did a show called Ballyhoo. And it was all about the city, and the city had a rhythm, and you had to be in the rhythm of the city. This all sounds like fever dream stuff, but I'm serious. This is all real.
No, but I know John, so I know that that sounds normal for John.
Yeah. And it was happening like right when I got into Seattle, so like 1999. And then this guy sort of left. I didn't see him doing any theater stuff for a while. And then he came back into, like, they did some stuff at Annex, whatever the sketch group was.
Well, I don't...
Or they did it at Theater Off Jackson, and I was watching it there.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. Maybe our fact checker will be able to research this and inform us next week.
That would be great. Speaking about Fact Checker, I have heard from Jennifer Fact Checker, the person who checks the facts most on this podcast, that there are corrections for today.
All right. Well, when we get to that point, I can pull them up.
That's pretty exciting. Still not on Twitter. I will admit that I took a little sneak peek in, but really don't know anything about what's going on in the news right now. So that we're back in prime to be able to do our semi-regular segment. Does Paul know what's happening?
Also subtitled, does Ben know what's happening, even though he is on Twitter?
Yeah. So this is the thing. I want you, Ben.
Me, Ben.
To think of something big in the news, like the top news story that you can think of.
Okay.
Start hinting at it and see if I can guess what it is.
Okay. Do you want me to just give you like words or like phrases, or how do you want me to hint?
Yeah. Okay. So let's pick something historical that we already know. Just name a historical.
Oh God. So when you put me under the gun to think of something, an historical fact, okay.
Or a historical event.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going through a bunch of historical events, but every hint
okay,
I try to come
I,
up
I
with,
okay.
it applies to so many other things.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I'm just gonna give you
a historical event in my mind.
Now, I'm just gonna give you a word, and let's see if you can come up with the biggest news story that I'm aware of that has happened in the last week.
Okay.
Sharpie.
Let's do it. Wow, no.
Okay.
So here's... I'm gonna start asking you questions. Does it have to do with the Sharpie company?
No.
Okay. Did someone write something with a Sharpie? Ooh! Did someone redact something with a Sharpie?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't a redaction, it was a revision.
Oh. Okay. Still don't know it. But let's say, was it a legal document that was revised?
Yes.
And was it a bad forgery attempt?
Forgery implies subterfuge of some sort. This was blatant.
Okay. Did it involve a date?
Does not involve a date. I will tell you that it involves a map.
Okay. Okay, this thing
and
was
for,
written with a Sharpie.
For everybody listening, they probably know what I'm talking about. So this is painful.
Sorry, but this is really interesting. Okay, this thing that was it written or was it drawn?
It was drawn.
Okay. Is it a redistricting?
No.
Of something?
It is okay. Not a redistricting.
Was it a map of the United States?
It was a map of part of the United States.
Okay. Was it a map of the southern region or the northern region of the United States?
I'll just flat out tell you, it was a map of the southeast region.
Okay. Does this have anything to do with the hurricane?
Yes, it does have something to do with the hurricane.
Okay. All right. Good, good, good. So someone drew something with the hurricane on a map of the United States with a Sharpie.
Yes. Someone.
Okay. Was this someone, I'm just going to make a guess here, the President of the United States?
Yes, it was the President of the United States.
Okay. Did the President of the United States mark where on the map he thought the hurricane was?
No. He did not mark on the map where he thought the hurricane was.
Did he mark on the map an area that he wanted the hurricane to hit?
I'm just going to go ahead and say yes to that one.
Like even a though, big X?
What's that?
Was it an X?
No, it was not an X.
Was it a circle representing the hurricane?
No.
Okay. Was it an arrow?
No.
Okay. So the President of the United States marked an area on the map that he wanted the hurricane to hit.
All right. I'm just going to give you another hint.
Okay, cool.
At one point, the president had to be corrected by the National Weather Service over a tweet.
Okay. Did the president mislabel a state?
No.
Okay.
All right, so...
Okay, now everybody knows what it is, right?
Here's another hint. The president said in a tweet, Hurricane Dorian is coming, and it's going to make landfall in certain places.
Yeah.
And the National Weather Service said, it's not actually going to make a landfall at a place you said.
Okay. Was one of the places property that he owned?
No.
Okay. now, I know at least one person who was affected by the hurricane who lives in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So, did the president say Florida?
No. Okay, I'm going to give you most of the story, and you have to guess what he did.
Okay.
So the president said in a tweet, the hurricane's going to, you know, pray for people in Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. And the National Weather Service said, we repeat, Alabama is not going to be affected by the hurricane. And so the president had a map of the hurricane's projection in the Oval Office. And he did what?
He indignantly pointed out where Alabama was and said, you're telling me that this isn't going to be affected by the hurricane?
Kinda. It's more along the lines of the president's inability to admit that he was wrong.
Yeah. He said that he never said Alabama?
No. He more likely doubled down.
Oh, okay.
So there was an official national NOAA weather map of the projection of Dorian.
Oh no, okay.
And what did he do?
Did he use a Sharpie to enlarge the storm?
That's exactly what he did. So there's this beautiful, like produced map, and it has like you know, where the projection might be, right? You know, it's got this large area of the southeast, and, you know, this is where Dorian might hit. It's still 2 days out, so we don't know. And then, and after the Weather Service said Alabama is not going to be hit, President Trump took a Sharpie and drew a half circle on the end of the projection that to include parts of Alabama.
Wow. That's crazy. And I didn't know about it.
I think we just got disconnected.
Hey, Ben, are you all right? What's going on?
During my riveting story. Or that, I cannot hear him. Pa, can you hear me?
Because it looks like we're still connected, but I can't hear you. Something's
happened. All right. Oh, God. You know what just happened? It's just... Okay, hang on.
It's probably switched to a different microphone or something.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Probably you're on Bluetooth or something.
And we're back.
Hey, there you are.
Okay, so this is what happened. I was charging my Bluetooth headphones on my desk here, and I noticed that they were done charging, so I unplugged them, and then for whatever reason, they turned themselves on. And so the audio started going to my Bluetooth headphones, which are still sitting in their case.
It'll be interesting for Jennifer to listen to that that little snippet.
To see if we lined up.
I said, at one point in time, I said, I think you've probably switched to Bluetooth. So that's something.
That is exactly what happened. Accidentally.
So that was the biggest news story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the biggest
one. Anything else?
Like the hurricane basically was the biggest news story. And then the president revising this official map, which some people are saying is a felony.
Really?
Yeah. I had no idea, but...
Gosh, I wonder if he'll get in trouble for doing something illegal.
Right? Just add it to the list.
Yeah.
But it's like forging official documents or something like that.
That would be really weird if that's...
if that's what brought him down.
if that actually was effective. I mean, if he got affected by that, that would be weird. Oh, just a really before I called you, I'm trying a new art thing.
Oh yeah.
So I told you already I went to see the M.C. Escher exhibit at the So and I said at the because if you remember part of it was I couldn't remember what it was called.
Okay.
And maybe I will be corrected about that. Maybe not. So I'm not going to say what it is. Maybe we'll find out later in this episode. But if we don't, there's a chess organization in St. Louis who had a bunch of M.C. Escher prints that I went to go and see. And remember we were talking about how M.C. Escher does a lot of woodcuts.
Yeah.
So I went to... craft store that I go to all the time, Michael's, here in Edwardsville.
Yeah, they got Michael's over here too.
And I bought what it is. It's like eraser material, but it's a big block of it, and you scrape it. You scrape piece of it off, like one would when making a woodcut.
Yeah.
And so I am making a woodcut type thing from a comic strip character that I made back when I was 17 years old called Gog, G-O-G, Gog.
Okay.
At the University of Missouri Columbia. I was a cartoonist there. And Gog was a circular-headed, bug-eyed, big-teethed guy with no nose and three fingers who hung out with a severed head on a pedestal. And that was the comic strip I drew for, I don't know, 2 years, I guess.
And what sort of hijinks did Gog and his severed-headed friend get up to?
Oh, it was really, really weird.
Really?
Yeah, they were friends with this guy named Skippy the Ill-Tempered Muskrat. And they were just dudes hanging out, having a good time, Gog for a little bit became Gogo the Psycho, or Gogo the Psycho Clown. He added hair to the side of his head and carried a sledgehammer around. Stuff like that. Normal comic stuff, basically. So yeah, I decided that he would be my first woodcut.
Your first eraser cut.
Yep, eraser cut.
How's it going?
It's going all right. I was using it wrong for the first half of it, but now I'm using it right, and it's a lot better now that I know how I'm actually supposed to be using it.
Well, you know, art is it's an ongoing learning process.
Exactly, but I think if it works out, I might do more of this stuff. It's very fun.
So then, what do you do when it's cool. All done? You put it in a big ink pad and then stamp things.
You have a little ink roller, and you roll the ink onto the thing, and then you put a piece of paper on it and tap the piece of paper so that it's all covered, and then you take it off, and you've got a little print.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Rinse,
and then
repeat.
Once you get good at it, then you start using linoleum sheets, which work better.
Linoleum?
And then you... Yeah. I don't know why, but that's what they use. It's a little bit tougher than the eraser material. And then, of course, if you get really, really fancy, you do wood blocks or... other types of printmaking. But yeah, printmaking, it's a art form in and of itself.
Indeed.
And it's pretty cool so far. Let's see, other news. I ate some spicy chicken wings yesterday. And then I ate a whole bunch of junk food. So yesterday was a... there's a thing called the zigzag diet. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have not.
But basically the idea is that you have a strict diet that of low calories that you adhere to. And then you have a couple days where you go off of it.
Cheat days.
And yeah, basically that's right. But the idea is that if you go to just a low carb diet, or a low calorie diet, your body can get used to it and it starts, you know, adjusting. So your metabolism slows down.
Gotcha.
And so if you hit it with some good big meal things, it won't do that. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I wanted to eat these hot wings. And so I did. In fact, I wasn't going to eat the hot wings at first, but then Jennifer put one on my plate and said, that one's for you. And so I ate that one. And then there were two left. And my friend of the show, Andy, asked me if I wanted one of the other ones, ones that was left. And so I ate that one too. And they were ghost pepper hot wings.
Pretty hot. Yeah. I don't generally care for hot wings and, the ghost pepper ones, I think I was going to, I would probably stay away from those.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, the endorphin rush that you have afterwards is pretty good.
I do like this YouTube series called First We Feast, where this host, gets a bunch of celebrities to eat a series of more increasingly hot wings with these hot sauces and Scoville units that just like go into the millions. And
wait a second. Does the guy have a British accent?
No, but there's one with Alton Brown, which is really fun because he's just so laid back and relaxed and cool while he's doing this, while other people just lose their effing minds because it's so hot.
The reason I ask is because there's another podcast, not podcast. Maybe that's why. There's a YouTube.
This is a YouTube show.
There's a YouTube show called Hot Ones.
Yeah, that's the same.
That is the exact same format.
It's the same thing.
Wait, is it the same show or is
it's
just
the same
the
show?
Same...
It's called the show is called Hot Ones, but the company that does it is or like the umbrella series is called First We Feast.
Okay. Well then,
but the main dude isn't British.
Also, and I know what happened is that the one that I saw was the one with who's the chef guy who yells at people a lot?
Oh, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, yeah. I projected Gordon Ramsay's accent onto the guy, and I just thought they were both British for whatever. So yeah, that's the one. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like it. Gordon Ramsay, at the end was having trouble.
He was having trouble. It was it was a delight to watch.
Let me ask you a question. What other ones should I check out? Because that's the only one that I saw.
Oh, like I said, the Alton Brown one.
Alton Brown, okay.
What else? Terry Crews is a fun personality.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
I like Terry Crews. There's a Weird Al one, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, man, that would be good, too. Okay, cool. Well, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Something else that I finally started listening to, a podcast, because... you know, I listened to Hollywood Handbook.
Okay.
And Conan O'Brien's assistant was on that, talking about Conan O'Brien's new podcast. Or, well, new, relatively. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
I've heard of it, but I have not. I've heard of it, but I have not heard it.
Well, it turns out Matt Gourley is on it. And Matt Gourley is one of my favorite improv podcast people.
Okay.
He's one of the super ego guys.
Yeah.
And so so I started listening to it. It's actually, you know, I've got a new appreciation for Conan O'Brien. Not that I didn't have an appreciation for him before, but I mean, he was kind of a fixture, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And now he's more of a person to me, I guess, if that makes sense.
That's what podcasts do.
Yep, it's true. Isn't that right, honey? Or anybody listening?
Yeah. At first, when you first got married, you were just a fixture in Jennifer's life. But now that she's able to listen to you on the podcast, you're more of a person.
Man, oh man, it's good that she finally has a chance to get to know me. and of course, what we're referring to is my wife, Jennifer Pratt, is known on this podcast also as Jennifer Fact Checker, a nickname so apt she had to suggest it herself.
You know what? Before you go on. Yeah. I posted this on Facebook, but you're not on Facebook. I recently watched this hour-long special, Ricky Jay and His 52 Assistants. And in it, he has one of my favorite lines, which I have heard before, and it's always been one of those quips that's been in my head, but I've never known where I heard it from.
Yes.
Or who I heard it from. And it's in this special, and he's throwing... playing cards
at a
watermelon, and he gets two cards in the same, like at the same place, and he goes, "A feat so impressive, I am forced to mention it myself."
Here's the thing: that patter that he does, that right there,
yeah,
it's a standard thing. He's done it. Like, okay, was he on a late night talk show when he does it?
No, he was. It was
in
like
that
a
special.
No. It wasn't a late night talk show. It was basically an hour long. I would call it a stand up special, but it's an hour long like stand up magic special, which looks like it's on the set of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
So the place where Jennifer and I heard it was we were watching him on. I think it might have been Conan, but on some late night talk show, and he did that.
Yeah,
And then later on, I saw a biography of him, and he's saying it, but it wasn't on the late night talk show. And I'm like, oh, this is something that he says all the time. And it's always weird for me when you see somebody who has an act. Like, they have an act, and you know that people have acts, like comedians, right?
Yeah.
They have an act, and you know they have an act, and you sort of just file away in the back of your mind. But when you watch it, it's like you're watching it for the first time. But then when you see them doing their act a second time, and the thing that you thought was improvised is also something that's still in their act. It's amazing.
Yeah, who knew that they worked and workshopped and refined and honed their pattern over a number of years?
Yep. And so I understand anyway, when people don't want to do new material, it's because they know that the material that they've worked on works for a large percentage of audiences.
Right.
So they don't want to trot out anything new. It's just, it's crazy. But yeah. That and Ben, just so you know, I use that pattern for Jennifer's nickname thing because Jennifer likes that line too. Basically, anyone who listens to this podcast knows, and anyone who's starting with this episode knows that I always say that starting with a later episode is weird, but I get it. We have a thing on this podcast. It started pretty early on where we don't look things up during the podcast, and we never know what we're going to talk about, so we don't look things up before the podcast either. Because we want to get away from the thing that people do where they are, quote, Wikipedia smart, unquote, and act like they know something when they really don't know it. They just looked it up. And so because of that, however, we're going to get things wrong sometimes. And when we do, we don't want to put out wrong information. So we're constantly correcting our own podcast. And we're doing it with your help. If you hear something that is incorrect or needs to have more information added to it, you can write to us at bensemail@yahoo.com, at gmail.com. And if you have a correction, we'll read it on the podcast. And if you don't have a correction, doesn't matter, because my wife, Jennifer Pratt, Jennifer Fact Checker, listens to the podcast, long-suffering Jennifer Pratt, listening to the podcast, putting in corrections for when we say the wrong thing. And Ben, are there corrections today?
There are corrections, but a bit of a sidebar about the email address. I have been conducting a bunch of Sketchfest business this week, and I accidentally emailed a bunch of people with that email address, the bensemail@yahoo.com. So, but you know, once I didn't realize what I had done, you know, just for whatever reason, the email app that I was using just auto-filled that address into the from field, because I have like 12 email addresses plugged into this one email app, and so I wasn't getting any emails from people I needed to hear from on my Sketchfest address. I'm like, well, what's going on? Where are they? And then I look over and they're at bensemail@yahoo.com and gmail.com. Oops.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Ben. On a technicality, are any of those corrections for our podcast?
Let me check. No.
Okay.
All right. So the first one from the actual corrections is an editorial. Jennifer says,
yes.
Ben has discovered a new annoying thing to do while recording a podcast: typing. Yep. We can hear it, Ben. Tappity, tappity, tap. Yeah, I was afraid that was going to happen. I recorded last week's show at home, and I was using this audio recorder. And when I had to put it down to write show notes, it was sitting right next to the keyboard. And so you can hear me tick, 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 tick on the thing.
Oh, yeah. I totally heard that, too. And I thought at first that I was doing it. And I'm like, I'm not typing anything. That's how loud it was, Ben. It sounded like it was me doing it. That's
you
what
won't,
I'm
you won't hear it tonight, today, and fortunately. Or unfortunately, depending on whether or not you like hearing typing. Maybe that's an ASMR thing. Anyway, number two.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You were talking about your parents living in bear country?
Did I say bear country?
Anyway, number two is...
No, you asked if there was a chance that... Because we were talking about how if I lived out where my parents lived, I might have a shotgun or something.
Oh, that's right. And I'm like, do your parents live in bear country?
Yeah.
Anyway, number two, Paul's parents do not live in Bear Country, but they do live in a very rural area where feral and semi-feral dogs, bobcats, and coyotes are not uncommon, and yes, rabies exists and is a real concern, and I appreciate that. I've heard of the series of shots you need to get if you are suspected of having rabies, and it sounds like a terrible, terrible thing to have happen.
Did you hear about it on Different Strokes?
I have no idea. Different That's Strokes, the TV show?
Yeah, yeah.
Did Arnold get hit by
a dog? Yeah. And they talk about how you get a whole bunch of shots in your stomach, and Arnold is afraid to tell anyone that he got bit by a dog because he doesn't want to get rabies shots. I think in the end it turns out that they found the dog, and the dog didn't have rabies.
Okay,
but
good.
Still, it was a concern that I had, and as we've talked about in this podcast before, you and I, that is, in fact, a real crazy area where my parents live. Not as much anymore, but for a while, if you saw a dog, it was either a wild dog that was going to attack you or a farmer's dog that was also going to attack you.
Yep. When I was a kid, one of my mom's friends had this house out in rural South Olympia. So rural that not only was their driveway not paved, but the road to their driveway was not paved.
That's actually we had loose rock roads for the first, I don't know, maybe 10 years that I lived there, I think.
So, but the concern wasn't so much about bears or bobcats or coyotes, but skunks. And if there was a skunk sighting, you had to bolt, because the remedy for getting sprayed by a skunk was a tomato soup bath.
Yep.
And for whatever reason,
I remember that
when I was a kid, it wasn't getting sprayed by a skunk. That sounded like the worst thing to have happened to me. It was taking a tomato soup bath. And I don't know, if they kept just a cupboard full of tomato soup just in case one of the kids got sprayed.
Well, and that's the other question is, does it really help?
I know, or does the tomato soup flavor odor just cover up the skunk odor?
Yeah. We have skunks out here, even in Edwardsville. You can smell it.
Yeah.
Lots of times. It's pretty bad.
Anyway, we were talking about jail versus prison.
Yeah.
And that they're not the same things. And I always used the two interchangeably. But apparently jail is a place that houses people charged with crimes awaiting trial and also people convicted of minor crimes. Prison is a place that houses convicted criminals, usually who are serving sentences for serious crimes. A more vague but also accurate description is jail is a place of confinement for people held in lawful custody. Prison is a place of confinement for convicted lawbreakers. So, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess whenever I've heard those two terms, they've always referred to, you know, what they were. I just kind of conflated them in my head.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the big house is prison.
I think you're right.
And the pokey is jail.
And being sent up the river. Have you heard that phrase, being sent up the river?
Yeah.
Apparently, yep. That was in reference to a real, I think maybe the Hudson River or the East River in New York, where the prison was upriver of either the police station or like downtown. So if you went upriver, you were going to prison.
Interesting.
And
good for a prisoner if you're gonna break out of the prison.
You just head downstream.
You just jump in the river and you get taken away.
That ends the corrections.
Hey, awesome. We did a good job, Ben.
Yay.
I think.
Good job, us.
That works out. So,
we had a hell of a thunderstorm roll through here last night.
We had a minor thunderstorm. You had a bigger one.
We had a thunder and lightning storm that some people were saying they haven't seen the lightning, that of which in 30 years. The types of which we haven't seen around here in 30 years.
I believe it.
It's, you know, usually when there's lightning in Seattle, it's like sheet lightning. It's like, you know, the sky just lights up and then it goes dark.
Yep.
But this was bolt lightning. There's I didn't see any of this personally, but lots of crazy video of just bolt lightning just, you know, streaking across the Seattle skyline. I was actually in the Market Theater during all of this because we had a Sketchfest show. And so we couldn't hear the thunder nor see the lightning, of course, but the lights did flicker every once in a while.
We, in these parts, we have bolt lightning.
Yeah.
And I believe that Betty and Jennifer, who were used to the Seattle weather, were impressed by the lightning strikes that we had here.
Yeah.
That and also, it's funny, they go down to the basement whenever the sirens go off.
Yeah.
And it's just like in Seattle, the carrying of umbrellas is something that is for tourists and stuff like that.
Right.
She was like, the sirens went off and we went down to the basement. I was like, why? And then I realized that that's what you're actually supposed to do.
Well, these are tornado and sirens?
Yeah,
head to the basement.
There was one time, I think I mentioned this to you before, Andy and I, Andy, friend of the podcast, Andy Weaver, actually was a roommate of mine for a while. We were driving around.
And yet after you're still friends.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Riding around. Oh, we stopped being roommates. That might have been part of it. Riding around after a tornado, and it looked like there was pink snow.
Pink snow?
All over the ground. Yeah.
Okay.
And what had happened was a warehouse had gotten hit. And
so it was like the pink
it
insulation?
Sucked up all the insulation and shredded it and then deposited it on the landscape.
I saw a picture today on Reddit. Who knows if the description is correct, but it's a smart car that it's inside of a house. And the description said that the person who owns the smart car put it inside their house to keep it from blowing away during Hurricane Dorian. Which I can believe. Those smart cars are really small and lightweight. But and this guy, you can see the double doors that he, you know, brought the car in. So, man, why not just park your car in your living room every day? It'd be, you know, it'd be real easy to, or be real convenient to just not have to warm your car up.
I am wondering if we're going to get sort of a perfect match between smart cars and, like, Boston Dynamics robots eventually, and you'll just have, like, a horse, basically. A horse-like, intelligent car that you could fit inside, right?
Yeah.
But that drives you where you want to go and stuff like that. I think it's possible. I really do. That our cars will have personalities.
I think I don't mind my car having a personality. I mind my car having more control over itself than I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't.
We talked about that. How much it would suck.
Yeah, I don't want my car to be hacked.
Yeah, or even not hacked. Like there's a presidential motorcade coming through, and so all the cars. Take control,
right?
Pull over to the side of the road and then lock you in,
right?
Until the president goes by. It would be crazy.
It's happening.
It's something that could happen. Yeah,
those are definitely smart cars.
We are going to be so our lives are going to be weird, Ben. It's only going to get more weird.
I mean,
one
who
way
knows?
Or the other.
Maybe there's going to be some cataclysm that takes our species back 1,000 years. So
yeah,
all this,
that's
all
what
this
I mean.
Cool new
one
technology.
Way or the other, it's going to be weird.
One way or the other.
And I was thinking about that too. Like, if people with our brains, right, were to go back to 1800s technology, how much new stuff could we create that hadn't been created before because we know about the stuff now?
Are you talking about, like, you and me personally or, like,
you and me personally,
an average person from today?
I'm not talking about you and me personally. I'm talking about the population in the United States. So John DeShazo, for instance.
Yeah.
We brought him up before in the past. John DeShazo is a friend of ours who is handy. He makes furniture, like high-end furniture, or has made. I don't know what he does right now. But because of his know-how of crafting techniques and all that sort of thing, and he was one of the guys who converted a diesel car to run on cooking oil, used cooking oil, I believe.
No.
I want to say.
Probably. I wouldn't put it past them.
Biodiesel, at least.
Yeah.
So, you know, put a guy like that in the 1800s, who knows, you know, what he might come up with. You and me, though, yeah, right. For me, role-play games will exist. That would be cool. Beatboxing in the 1800s, that's something.
Yeah, every once in a while I think about that. Like, if I were transported into the past, how could I help humanity leapfrog technologically or sociologically? And I don't think I'd be able to.
Beatboxing, you'd be the best beatboxer, at least for a while.
Yeah, until everybody else learned how to do it.
Yeah, but... And that's also... That's something I also think about. If you go back to that time, you go, hey, guys, check this out. And they're like, what is that? Why are you doing that?
Why
what,
dost,
stop it?
Dost thou make strange noises? Strange noises.
We
with your
all,
mouth.
We all have had a meeting and we hate it. You have to stop.
We're banishing you back to the future.
Exactly, back to the future. Hey,
Marty,
that is something I was thinking about. Is that you could maybe make it as a playwright by like just writing episodes of Friends and what have you. Hey, the door's opened.
By
the
itself?
Door just opened.
Is your house
by
haunted?
Itself, I think. Oh, no, it's Jennifer. Jennifer is bringing Edward in.
Aw.
Was he licking your hand while you were playing video games?
No, that doesn't bother me.
What's that?
That doesn't bother me. I get focused, so I
don't... Did he just keep on whining at the door?
No, I just... I'm going outside, and I wanted him to...
Oh.
He'll come in here and whine at you anyway, so I thought he'd just...
Yeah. Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer has dropped off Edward. Edward.
A not unwelcomed guest.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer is sick today.
Ah.
It is too bad. So Edward, the tiny gentleman, said so because of his tiny bow tie, is nude today.
He's nude?
He's completely nude.
Oh, no. How embarrassing.
No collar, no, because he has a little sore on his neck.
From the collar?
Yeah, we think it was too loose and it was chafing him. We think. Jennifer knows. It's not like Jennifer and I had a symposium. Jennifer's like, oh yeah, that's from his collar. that's really what happened. It wasn't, I had absolutely no agency whatsoever in figuring it out. I'm just reporting information that she
right.
And it's too bad, but he's still cute even without the little bow tie. I make him sit up a lot like a person because I think it's hilarious, and he's okay with it.
Yeah, he just does he hold that pose if you let him go?
Yeah, at least for a little bit, and then he so slowly slides over.
He just falls over.
Yeah, it's pretty. Like I said, it's cute. Dogs falling over is cute to me. Speaking of cute to me, hey, Betty!
Jeez.
Let's see if we can hear.
Gets earlier
bark
earlier
at Betty
earlier
when she comes in. Let's see. Let's see if it happens. So, Edward, his ears are perked up. Here she comes. Oh,
is
here.
This happening?
Do you hear it? Yeah, we got Edward on mic growling when Betty approaches.
Why?
Yeah, she doesn't know. She doesn't know. Oh, hey, it's time for Betty to put on the headphones. I am without the headphones now, but only Betty can hear Ben.
Hi, Betty.
Hi. How's life?
Life is good. How's your life?
Good. It's doing all right.
Yeah? Is it?
Fortune cookies! Sorry.
What? It's time to open up fortune cookies.
No, I'm...
It's time for me to open up a fortune cookie, anyway.
Okay.
I'm opening this fortune cookie. Oh, Edward is interested.
Oh, Dad's opening up a fortune cookie.
Here we go. Gonna read my fortune.
It says,
a pleasant surprise is in store for you soon.
A pleasant surprise is in store for you soon.
Uh-oh, what does that mean?
I don't know. I have two, but I'm not gonna open them. Because I don't know. I hung out with my friend Toby yesterday.
Oh yeah? Did you play video games or something?
Not exactly. We hung out all day. I wanted to have a sleepover with him, but his dad wanted to hang out with him. So I've just been wallowing around in my corner in my room procrastinating while watching videos.
Oh, yeah. Hey, wait, do you have any homework?
Yes, I do, but homework time is later. Any hoodles.
What time is your homework time?
I don't know.
Isn't it 6?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's 6. All right. Ben may not know. I'm not allowed to help Betty with her homework or talk to her about it in
Why not?
Dad's not allowed to help me with... Oh. You can hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Oh, okay. So it's only Dad can't hear you.
That's right.
So it's because he always wants to do things his way, but I want to do things my way, and it kind of just like... Yeah. And either one of two things will happen. Either I end up crying.
Aww.
Or Mom comes in before we go nuts.
Wow, so that's why you won't let him help you with your homework?
Yeah, it's what my psychologist said anyway.
Ah. Well, they know best.
Yeah, well,
What classes are you taking this year?
Oh, I gotta go let that cat out. I'll be right back.
Dad's letting the cat out.
Is the cat on fire?
He's letting the cat outside, Ben.
Oh, okay, good. I was worried there for a minute.
Oh, he's letting the cat inside. Never mind.
Ah.
Oh, man. We can hear him all the way from over here. That's cray-cray.
It's cray-cray.
It's cray-cray.
I'm back.
Yeah, he's back.
Ah, excellent. Well, what, what classes are you taking?
Well, let's see. I'm taking, Spanish for the time being.
Spanish?
Science, health, language arts, math, and social studies.
Sounds pretty standard, but except for the Spanish, I don't think they didn't teach us foreign languages when I was your age.
Oh, yeah.
I had to wait till high school.
Yeah, well, that's it. Only Spanish.
Gotcha. Spanish, está bueno.
I don't know what that means yet.
Well, the year's early. It's still early in the year.
Yeah. See, what else is there?
Band?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing band as well.
Oh, yeah? What are you playing?
percussion as always.
Cool.
Yeah, and
well, you never know. Maybe you might want to try your hand at a trumpet or a violin.
Well, yeah, but percussion was because I like hitting things.
I do too. The drums are my favorite.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is there? Well, oh, that's kind of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's good talking to you.
Okay, I'm handing the things right back to Dad. Yep. Bye.
Yo, and it's me again.
Hey.
Finally. Me. It's all me. I'm the one talking now. Oh, that was so hard, Ben. You won't even believe it.
You wouldn't believe it.
Also, the dog's been farting a lot. Okay, that was me, actually. I'm sorry, but I've heard you're supposed to blame the dog for it. That's a very human dog owner thing to do, so I tried it. But he looked at me, and I felt really guilty. I was like, what if he listens to the podcast? And then he's like, what, dude.
There will come a day when scientists, researchers, are able to find a way for humans and animals to communicate. And then animals are going to start listening to podcasts. And that's when the uprising will begin.
And he'll be like, son of a what?
What did you call
me? I can't believe.
My name's not Edward.
I am little man, first of his tribe. That was his original name, by the way.
Little man?
Little man.
Well, there's a whole Rick and Morty episode about that where Snowball, their...
Oh, yeah!
Their dog. It's like, do not call me Fluffy. Fluffy was my slave name. My name is Snowball. Or something like that. I forgot Snowball's slave name.
But I think that's
a whole Game of Thrones reference.
Maybe.
Is that, or it's just an interesting coincidence, you know, that synchronicity thing that happens because, as you know, in Game of Thrones, Grey Worm gets freed by Daenerys, and she's like, what's your real name? And he's like, well, you know, Daenerys, and he's like, Daenerys freed Grey Worm, so I'm keeping Grey Worm, because that is my free name.
There's, and then there's, of course, Toby versus Kunta Kinte thing in Roots.
Right.
The movie Roots.
And Locutus of Borg versus Picard. Yes.
That's right. Oh, speaking of Picard, that's going to happen at some point in time.
That is going to happen. Apparently he has a dog? That's the only thing I've heard about this show.
Here's what I've heard. Also, Seven of Nine and Data are both going to be in
excellent.
Yeah. At least as guest stars, if not more.
Yeah. Speaking of Kunta Kinte, hopefully Jordy LaForge is going to be in it as well.
Oh, that would be nice. I would like to see him. You know, bring everybody back. Come on. Why not? But I've decided that I am going to have to get Disney Plus, probably.
Yeah.
Because I want to see The Mandalorian.
The Mandolin. No, I want to get Disney Plus too, but I don't. I already subscribed. We've talked about this on ad nauseum. I already have three streaming services. I'm gonna say that's enough.
Yeah,
three is enough. Now, if it's gonna be one in, one out. So if Disney Plus has something for me, then I'm gonna have to make a decision on what do I cancel.
Yeah. Yeah, I already had to get rid of DC Universe to get PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
So that my daughter could play Silent Hill. and my wife can play, you know, all the other streaming games that they have there. So We'll see. We'll see. PS5 in my future, most likely.
PS5? Has that been announced?
Well, I mean, it's they might call it something different, right? But it's, we know that those, that next gen system is going to be out.
Okay.
From Sony, so we'll see. Although I gotta say, by the way, I want to say something. The Oculus Quest,
yeah,
has Insight. Insight. I thought it was a machine, but it's not. Insight is just the technology that the Quest uses. Okay. So, if the one person who listened to that and was like, you know, hey, I got that wrong, that's something that that's a self correction.
The Quest up. I think I mentioned it last time we talked about this. I definitely want one, but I'm afraid to get it. Because I will not do anything else. I'm sure at some point, I say that about a lot of things, but I'm sure at some point I'll just either grow tired of it or bored with it or something, or it won't be as fresh and clean. But for those first, yeah. I'm sure for that first month at least, say goodbye to doing anything else.
I still think it would be really cool if they have an app for the Oculus Quest that you can use with a fitness bike or whatever, so that you're riding a stationary bike and the motion of the bike allows you to ride in a virtual landscape.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be
I'm sure that's coming. What would also be cool is if you can network these things so you can hang out with your friends who live 2,000 miles away.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be very, very awesome. The big thing that would be cool about the stationary bike, I was thinking about this, is that you wouldn't have to, you could go anywhere. As long as you don't get off your bike, you'd never be out of range.
Right.
Of the thing. Which I think it would be pretty awesome.
It'd have to be a special bike. You couldn't use just any stationary bike because the stationary bike handlebars don't turn.
Yeah,
you would want something that leaned,
or you know, make a completely new kind of exercise machine.
You know what they're gonna come up with? They're just like with Rock Band. They're gonna come up with all these proprietary proprietary pieces of equipment to use with these virtual reality things. So you're gonna have your virtual reality bike. You're gonna have your virtual reality like. Snow skiing thing. You're gonna have your virtual reality car.
Maybe they're already out there. It's just that we don't know about it
because I'm sure they are.
Aren't in that price range.
Yeah.
Speaking about not being in that price range, Ben.
Hey, it looks like it's that time. Yeah.
Hey, man. We had a lot of fun here today, but I want to remind you that it's really important that you keep it wrong.
And I'll throw that rap back in your face. Keep it wrong, Paul. I'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later, Ben.
Bye.
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 Okay, I'm shutting this up.